Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew today. If y'all would like to follow along, it's in chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Jesus begins to preach and goes through verse 23. Before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer together. Can you say with me the prayer of illumination? God, illumine our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, our eyes may see your kingdom, our ears may hear the call of Jesus, and our hearts may know the joy of your salvation. Amen. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 23, the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went to and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness, have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing the nets. Jesus called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. When Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Indeed. The time of Jesus' public ministry is upon us. Right now, the kingdom no longer is the kingdom near. Right? The kingdom is here and now. I wonder sometimes if we postmodern folks with all of our technology and distractions, our comforts and our connections, our 24-hour news cycle and on-demand everything, if we ever consider that Jesus is in our midst even as he sits on the right hand of God, are we aware of the divine right in front of us and the responsibilities of our allegiance to the Holy Spirit? And what that requires of us? Who do we think rules our lives and our world? I mean, really? Really? What forces and motives, interests and loyalties truly guide our actions? Who in this world has agency and power and influence? And who alternatively exists at the mercy and whim of others and their actions. So as I prepared to go on the mission trip for Juarez, I was doing some reading and just trying to mentally, really spiritually, emotionally prepare for the trip. And I struggled with the the news of states and communities voting to ban refugees from resettling in their area. I hear the reports of parents sending young children alone across the border to seek asylum because the conditions in the camps were so horrific and unsafe. And I would read these several articles and these anguished words of parents, and I would question and I would wonder, is the kingdom of God at hand or not? And I heard about one such family that I read about, the Martinez family. Alexis Martinez, a Honduran man who had traveled with his two young sons to seek asylum in the United States, and last saw them holding hands, and their faces were streaked with tears in the picture they shared. And they were bravely walking across the Gateway International Bridge into Texas. And the kids were alone. After weeks in a makeshift refugee camp in the Mexican border town of Matamoros, Martinez knew he had to send his 5-year-old Benjamin and his 7-year-old Asael without him. Benjamin had contracted a bronchial pneumonia, and they couldn't afford any more of the antibiotics. And they were sleeping on the ground in the cold. And these tents are not good for children, he said, because the cold goes right through them. And sometimes you do things not because you're a bad father, but because you want what's good for them. And you don't want to see them suffer. Where is the rule and the reign, the comfort and the provision of the kingdom of God at hand for Alexis and Benjamin and Osail? And while I know God is with these parents and children and Jesus is them, but how exactly is their gloom gone? Their joy increased? The darkness no more. If the kingdom of God is at hand, then why do so many vulnerable people suffer? Why do so many people suffer with earthly power? I desperately want the Lord of all to intervene in ways that bring the great reversal detailed in so many prophetic passages. Don't I? I mean, that's painful, soul-searching question that those not living in deep darkness must ask ourselves. Do we really want the kingdom of God to be at hand, so close that Jesus upends our expectations, invites us to leave all we know, causes us to follow wherever he goes, and utterly transforms our priorities, our purpose, our talents, our resources, and our skills? Really? Think about it. Careful. It's easy to gloss over the call stories of these first disciples. We heard those last week. We've heard these stories before. We talked about these call stories in our session meeting as we received our new elders. Ray will validate this. I'm not a fisherman. But our lives are radically different than those of Simon and Andrew and James and John. What would it mean even for us to leave our nets and be fishers of people? Yes. Yes, something about Jesus caused them to jump and go. Dad's left in the boat. It's gone. And it's commendable. But what really does this narrative have to do with us? All of these questions are related. How is the kingdom of God at hand here and now? Do we really want God's upending rule to reign supremely and exclusively? Does Jesus' call cause us to radically reorient our lives and subsequently the world all around us? If we aren't willing to consider that third question, does Jesus' call cause us to radically reorient our lives and subsequently the world all around us? The first two are solely rhetorical. If we are not willing to hear and heed God's call where we are, right now, in tangible ways, then the godly kingdom's proximity will not matter much. And the great reversal, divine reversal, while not ultimately thwarted, will surely be delayed in places and for people dying right now for its coming. God's light will shine. The darkness will be lifted. Jesus and his followers will preach and teach and heal. The rule of God cannot be stopped. However, if we are not responding to Jesus in our midst right now, if we are consumed with lesser gods, expending our energy on infighting, focused on winning petty arguments or increasing our own power and sway, the kingdom of God will feel far off to those most in need of its immediate and unquestionable presence. Perhaps that's why Jesus, bless you, that's why Jesus begins with a call of repentance, and Paul so often admonishes the early Christians to be united in the same mind and purpose. Our repentance and unity matter. Not only to Jesus, not only for our own sake, but for the sake and state of God's creation and all of its inhabitants. We cannot fish for people if we remain ensnared in the nets of sin and motivated by our own self-interest. Following Jesus and fishing for people requires the freedom that comes from repentance and letting go. Letting go of our cherished nets, our certain plans, our entrenched expectations, our fears of scarcity, our sole allegiance to our tribe. Another father who sent his son across the border alone told a reporter, as I read, "I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen to the parents. I don't know if the laws will ever permit us to reunite with our children. What happens to us is in God's hands. But I want to be sure my son is safe. What happens to them, what happens to all of us, is in God's hands. However, what happens to them and to all of us is influenced by those who claim to be the body of Christ, Jesus' hands and feet in this world, those united and making evident God's reign in their lives and in the world right now." Friends, we have a choice. We are in a boat together. We each have our own nets. You respond to God's call. Drop your net. Go to the shore and follow. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.